You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
So the third intervention from Cecilia Russell. She will present to us the implications of the new welfare mix in Uruguay, and we are very interested also as European to understand much more, because there's been very interesting model to came out from a very deep crisis. You have the floor, 15 minutes.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to speak here today. It's really weird to talk after other people talk, because one start thinking about their presentations and I want to argue with them and tell them things that I think and ask them things, and I can't. So I'll do it later, but I'll try to make my presentation touch some of the points that they touch. Especially because, as you can imagine, I don't believe Uruguay is a case that could be interesting for anything related to population or extension, or, you know, it's a very, very small country between two big other countries. But I believe that Uruguay is an example that could be interesting for discussing some of the issues that were discussed in the morning and that are being discussed today and tomorrow around welfare, which is my main focus of research and study. So let me tell you a little bit more. The question that I have is, what happens when SSE involves in welfare social service provision? The issue has been studied for a long time, mostly in developed countries, and mostly from other perspectives, not really from SSE literature and researchers. I have two questions related to this issue. The first one is how this involvement is affecting the development of SEC, so how welfare is affecting SEC actors. And the other one is, how is it affecting the possibility of a new welfare mix? How SEC is affecting the possibility to create new welfare regimes or new welfare mixes in around the world? I have two hypotheses. The first one is that SEC actors are becoming crucial in many countries, and the hypothesis is that in Uruguay that is the case, for enabling welfare capacity for social integration of the poorest through different public programs and policies. And the other hypothesis is that this role of enablers, of welfare enablers, being a part of a welfare adjustment, could be contributing to the growth of the sector, but at the same time could be threatening the sector's capacity to develop its full potential. So we know a lot about what we expect from SEC actors. The literature is vast around this. Basically, we refer usually or frequently to the characteristics of the sectors, and we say that these actors have solidarity values, and this is a key advantage for delivering social services that could be effectively reach the poorest. They have a distinct capacity, see, these organizations, to get to the poorest. That's what we assume it happens. They have a commitment to service quality because they don't have a lucrative objective or anchor. They have a capacity to be nearer the beneficiaries, and they are more willing to be receptive to their needs. They are more flexible and they are more innovative. And at the same time, from another corpus of literature, we assume that the entrance of SSE actors in welfare provision gives diversity and gives options to citizens, and eventually gives more efficiency and efficacy in the use of resources. So we have found around the world in many other countries that welfare change in this direction has helped SSE, because it has promoted organizations, new organizations. It has strengthened organizations. And researchers have around many countries have observed there is an increase of organizations, and there is an increase of resources, human resources, monetary resources, a diversity in organizations, and a higher market share of SSC actors in welfare provision. At the same time, we have found that the field of actions of SSC organizations has widened. Today, more organizations are involved in more different type of services, of social services in welfare. But not everything is good news. You already know it. I don't have to tell you what the bad news are. We have also found that there's a resource competency among organizations that are providing services. We have found that the professionalization process, formalization process, due to the involvement in social services, has also provoked bureaucratization in these organizations. We have also found economic dependency of state resources due to the shift in the financial sources of organizations, especially NGOs, which is the main type of organizations that I'm talking here in service provision, especially in the case of Uruguay, but not only. And this has produced a surviving link where organizations depend on the state and the state resources to survive, and they keep providing services. They create like a marriage that can't be broken, can be, you know. There's also a risk for technical dependence and cooptation and quiescence in SSE organizations, and a potential threat to the sector's autonomy and ultimately its identity. Ultimately, advocacy and more political and questioning roles that are usually expected from SSC actors could be threatened as well. So what happened in Uruguay, and why do I think this could be an interesting case? In the morning, Coraggio was explaining the effect that structural liberal reforms had in Latin America, and this case, Uruguayan case, fits very good in his general description. See, the country developed policies and programs where SSE actors became the main providers, and this started basically in that time, at that time, in the 90s, where when the structural reforms on liberal reforms took place. And this started growing and revealed new features for a new welfare mix where SEC actors, different than the state that was usually the traditional actor that provided services in Uruguay, a new actor entered in the scene. And the main features of this collaboration was those that I described there, a very strict methodological specification of the services that was to be provided, the financing of the 100% of the service, and technical specifications, and renewal of contracts that generated like a stable relationship, a stable marriage. But why is it relevant? Because this, which started in the 90s with these liberal structural reforms, kept growing and growing and growing, and is still growing today when we have in the country almost 8 years of a brutal shift, brutal radical shift in the political orientation of government, where the left, like as has happened in many other Latin American countries, where the left is ruling the country and is trying to bring the state back in a way, as Coraggio said in the morning. But with all that in the table, SEC actors are still very important providers for social services, and this tendency keeps growing as I'm showing in this graph. Nothing changed, strictly, from the political change that was trying to bring the stake back in and gain new spaces for the state in welfare service provision. So we know in this case that SEC actors are becoming welfare enablers. In a way, they're welfare change enablers, welfare reform enablers. But is this situation becoming a new scenario for SSE enabling? Is this growing? Is this growth that we see in that graph reflecting in a strengthening of the sector? I argue in the paper that is available for you, if you are interested in the presentation, that this is not actually happening. And the growth that is going on that we see and the arising of new organizations is not really reflecting in other features that should be important if we want a stable, democratic, transparent, and quality partnership between SSE actors and welfare. As we see there, and as we expected from the literature, but it's very interesting to see it in an empirical case regarding empirical evidence we have. We see that actually organizations, SSE organizations, see them as influencing in policy formulation. That's good, that's good news, and that comes from that change. But at the same time, we see bureaucratization, dependency, ideological and technical dependency, resource dependency, competition, lack of innovation, like a routine link, a routine function that is going on. It's been going on for more than 15 years now in the country, and that hasn't really changed in that time. So what to think about the political sustainability and implications for a new welfare mix of these partnerships in welfare provision? Uruguay's SSE state partnerships are enabling expansion of the welfare services for some groups of the population. This is true, and this probably would not have happened if these partnerships were not on the table. But it is let clear that if this is at the same time an enabling environment for SSE development and strengthening, the set of negative impact that the research and SSE actors themselves are perceiving should be taken as an alert when projecting on the political sustainability of partnerships. This poses a doubt on the relevance of these weaknesses by discussing some of the obstacles to the possibility of SSE actors to reach the potentialities and advantages they are supposed to bring to social service delivery. It could be worrying if resource dependencies, competition, and the other negative impacts that we saw vanish some of the sector solidarity values that we expect to find. With this evidence, and I'm wrapping up now, new state SSE partnerships are not necessarily a solid base for a political, sustainable, new form of Uruguayan welfare mix, if we part from the idea that what we need for that to have a political, sustainable partnership is a necessity that it's necessary, it needs to be strong, it has to be strong. SSE state partnerships seem more like a solution for organizations to survive and the state to bypass its rigid structure than a path for enabling SSE development and strengthening. Partnerships might be affecting more negatively than positively SSE development, which is, a very strong statement, but I think it's the space here to point out that kind of statement. The model developed in Uruguay is more close to an outsourcing process that doesn't expect from the SSE nothing but its implementing function, its provisioning function. The fact that this feature hasn't really changed since the origins of partnerships could be a sign of the real political relevance the SSE has in the welfare equation, which is, in my view, in the Uruguayan case, not really much. I believe that actually in Uruguay it's occurring, but nobody really cares nothing about these partnerships at all. And that is happening despite the resources that receives from the state that are growing and of the number of beneficiaries that are growing too that are being covered by these services. That's all I had to say today. Thank you.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unriz.org. Thank you for listening.